I am so glad to be with you again, praise God, and it's always an honor, praise God, to come and to be with you. We love your pastors. We really respect them, and you're so blessed, so wonderfully blessed to have a man and woman of God who leads this congregation. What's on the head always comes on the body. You don't just go to church because you like a church and because you like to praise and worship. You like this. You need to go where God has assigned you to go. Because wherever God has assigned you, there's a blessing. You have to be where God called you to be. And when he does, praise God, and God gives you good men and women who lead you, you need to begin to praise God, to pray for them continuously. I refuse to come to a place and I have to come and listen to the word of God and I have not prayed for that word to come forth. I won't do that. I got my wife, I got my babies I'm bringing, and I need to know that we're hearing from God. We love you, but I need to know that, praise God, you have sought the Lord to get a word, amen? Because I believe when I have a man and woman of God over me and they're speaking the word of life to me, I believe God is speaking through them. And they are the oracles of God, so I know how flesh can act, so I'm not going to take any chance. I'm going to go ahead and pray for you, amen? So that's just the way I see it. That's the way life is. And we, when we begin to do that, because this man and woman of God is limited in a sense to your prayers. Paul said, pray for us, that God will give us utterance, praise God. And I'm always praying, they're telling the congregation, please pray for me, because I want to make sure when I stand there, because I fully recognize I represent the Lord. I'm not here to represent myself. I'm not here to speak something that would please you, even though I hope it will. But I'm here to represent him, and I don't take that lightly. And I want to make sure that he is thinking his thoughts through my mind, and that what I deliver, that at the end of the day, even if you like it or don't like it, he'll say, well done. And that's very important to me. So I need you to pray for me, praise God. Amen, that I can preach this word. We are just so blessed and honored to be with you and to the elders of this house, all the leaders, to this beautiful, wonderful congregation. We talk about you all the time. We tell our church, praise God, they're probably jealous. We probably gonna have to bring all of them down here so they can see what we're talking about. I was thinking about that today. Amen. We load up a plane and just come in here and just burst up in here. Praise God. Amen. I said, hallelujah to the Most High God. Amen. Y'all clap and we'll do that. Amen. We'll bring them down here. We'll invade this place. Praise God. Amen. And just feel right at home when we get here. Praise God. But anyway, praise God. I am so glad to be here again. It's always a privilege and an honor. Praise God. Amen. Whenever I, the Lord tell me that I'm done, I may come down here, praise God, and just be one of the members here and hang out with y'all, praise God. I like this place, I like this city, and I like you folks, glory to God. So I'm very happy, man, praise God. Always a blessing, praise God. I honor the Lord for my beautiful wife. Sweetheart, won't you just stand up, praise God. Even just, you didn't say hello, let them see, praise God. I'm a blessed man, folks. Amen. I love my wife, praise God. I'm a blessed man, praise God. I don't just do marriage conference to do it. I'm really married, praise God. I'm married for real, praise God. I'm just saying, please be praying for us. We will be at the end of this month in a country called Bonaire. It is down by Aruba. Someone has to do it, so we figure we'll do it, praise God. But we are actually be doing a marriage conference there, and the pastor asked us to come. He said because of the traditions and the way they see marriages, and so they want us to come and share some things. So please be in prayer for us. We really take it very seriously, marriage, and we want to minister the word of life, and we believe God can do that. Praise God. Are you ready for the word today? Yes. Amen. Let's stand. I'm going to get ready to go right into the word today. Praise God. I believe I have a word that God has given me. We were sharing on yesterday with your men about the difference between a job and work. Work is what God calls you to do. A job is what you do for money. And so we wanted them to really get the understanding when God gave me this revelation, it actually set my life free because there is a difference between job and work. And too many people are working for jobs, working for money. If you don't get money, you won't do it. A work is what God designed you to do, and you do it for money or no money because you do it for the glory of your King. You are wired to do it. When you do it, it fulfills you. It completes you. It's who you are. So I will never stop and retire from being a preacher. A preacher is who I am. Amen. Ask my children. They'll tell you. I'm a preacher. I preach all the time. Amen. So you don't retire from your work. And I told the Lord, I don't want to have a job. The Bible talks about that, praise God, that you cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is a system. It is equated to a god in the sense that God said you can't serve God and mammon. And when you, many people in this life works under the system of mammon and don't know it, and mammon will kill you. It will make you work and be despise going to work. You hate your job. You get depressed on Sunday afternoon because you know you got to go Monday. And I made up my mind that I would not want to live my life that way. God, I want my work. And then I do my work and I get paid to do my work. I do what I love to do. I'm doing today what I love to do. Amen. I'll travel all the way to Milwaukee to get a chance to do this because I love to do it. Praise God. And that is my prayer for you. That was yesterday. We're not preaching that today, but I want to continue in that line just a little bit. It's not the same, but I want to give you something that you already know, but I promise you, if you will give me just a few moments to tell you what I'm going to tell you today, some of you are going to get emotionally healed today. I give you my word. If you'll listen, God's going to emotionally heal you. And I'm not going to tell you anything you don't know, but I'm anointed to tell you a certain way so that it will bring it back to your minds. All right. I'm ready. Praise God. I don't know if are you ready? All right. I'm just checking now. If you would open your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verse 14. I feel the presence of the Lord. I sense his presence so strongly. God is about to do something phenomenal. Amen. Because he loves you so much. You're so dear to him. Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verse 14. That's where I want to begin. Are you there?
Yes.
All right. Praise God. Wherefore he said, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly. Listen to the words very, very carefully. Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wow. Wherefore, or because of what I just said, be not unwise. Okay, well, how can I be not? I mean, what is it to be unwise? But understanding what the will of the Lord is. And understanding what the will of the Lord is. If you don't understand what the will of the Lord is for your life, then you're living unwisely. You're wasting some time. That's where I want to jump off. Is that all right? Would you bow your heads for a moment? Father, in the name of Jesus, I come and I thank you right now that you are thinking your thoughts through my mind. You are downloading your instruction for this house into my spirit right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you that every hindering force is bound in the name of Jesus. That there is a liberty to hear and to receive the engrafted word of God that's able to save, that's able to deliver the soul. God, breathe upon us. Don't just challenge us, but change us. That in all things, our life would be a sweet-smelling savor to you. Now get glory for yourself and get honor. We ask in the powerful and the matchless name of Jesus, if you agree, say amen.
Amen.
You may be seated in the presence of a holy and a righteous God. Amen, amen. I want to talk to you today about the will of God for you. The will of God for you. Say the will of God,
for me.
Say it again. The will of God,
for me.
Now say it this way. Lord, I want to know the will of God for me. All right. Praise God. Let's start off by talking. I'm going to read a lot of scripture, so you're going to need your Bible. I wouldn't take my word for it. I would get the word and look at it myself. Isn't that, that's very important. So let's look at it. First of all, I want to start off by saying your birth is no accident. So my birth is no accident. Now, you have to talk back. See, they up there preaching up there in Milwaukee and whatever, but I'm down here. And so when I said, ask you to say something, I need you to talk back to me because it helps me. Please don't. You got to help me. And I'm not trying to get you to do what I do, but when I ask you to say something, it's important because the Spirit of the God makes impact in your spirit when you speak a thing. You are a speaking spirit. And when you speak, listen, right quick, let me help you because some of you are looking at me. Put your hand right in front of your mouth. Just do it. You're in church, do it. Praise God. Now say, I'm a speaking spirit. What did you feel on your hand? You felt air. You know what happened? The atmosphere had to make adjustment for what just came out of your mouth. When you speak under the unction of the Holy Ghost, the atmosphere must adjust for a speaking spirit. God said, light be. And there was nothing, and something had to happen. Is that right? Is that your father? Are you his son, his daughter? Then you're to be like your daddy. You are a speaking spirit. So I'm not just trying to get you to say something. We are exercising who we are. No other animal in this planet can speak by faith and change what they see to what they believe. I feel the Holy Ghost up in here. So I'm not just trying to get you to say something. I want you to get in a pattern, a habit of understanding something. When I speak and I ask you to speak, something's going to change in your life. Not because I did it, but when you begin to do it and it begins to get a hold of your spirit and you begin to speak this thing over and over, something changes in you. Say, my birth is no accident. My God in heaven. Some of you, when you get that revelation today, something going to change in you. You know why? When God gives me something like that, that means some of you have struggled because someone has told you that I wish you were never born. Some of you began to wonder, your mother or father may have been like they didn't want you around. Maybe you're relative. Maybe it looked like everybody else has passed you up and you've been all by yourself and look like God got choices because he loved them people, but look like he ain't doing that much for me. And you begin to wonder about you and your value. But I'm here to declare to you today, your birth is no accident. Your mother and father might got together, but God chose who was going to come. Oh, that's true. They got together, but God said, I will determine who will come. And when you came, your life has an assignment on it. Say it one more time. My birth is no accident. See, it's not how you got here. Because there are some people, the world is going to look, well, you got here this way? I mean, your mother, and your it was this, it was that. And some people get here, and the way they come, it looked like it put a stamp on them so that they have to fight their way out of it. But when you get a revelation that God said, no, I determine who came. You're already a winner. I'm not a doctor or medical, but I understand there's something like 2 million to 5 million the thing was swimming, and you won the race. Come on, hey, God. Don't play with me. You already a winner. All right, we ready now. I had to loose you up. We ready. Bless the name of a most holy and righteous God. You need your Bibles. Psalms 139, let's go. We're going to do a lot of scripture reading because I want you to see this with your own eyes. It's important to me that you see it with your own eye. Psalm 139, we're going to begin in verse 13. I can't do all of them, but praise God, we're going to do enough of them. Psalms 139, let me get there. I'm getting you all there, and I'm not there. Praise God, I'm getting excited now. I'm going to have to calm down so I can give you this message. Praise God. All right, Psalms 139, and what verse did I tell you? Man, you guys are listening. Praise God. That's what I'm talking about. I'm trying to say that. I'm sorry. I'm having problems here, but we're going to get it right. Psalms 139. Psalms what? Okay, I'm just checking with you. Here we go. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Say, I am fearfully and I'm wonderfully made. Now, some of you, the way you were saying it, you couldn't convince me you believe that. And I want you to start believing that, because the psalmist is speaking, but he's speaking under the unction of the Holy Ghost. He's speaking by revelation. He has a revelation. You have to understand something. If you don't think you're fearfully and wonderfully made, then nobody else will. If you don't understand that you are fearfully and wonderfully made by your God, that you have significant value to your God, the value of a soul to God is enormous, and you are a value to him, and he fearfully and wonderfully made you. Glory to God. Glory to God today. Some of you are going to shake this old mindset, because your image of yourself is poor. Not all of you, but we want to begin to change that. Because if you're going to ever rise to what God called you to be, there's greatness lying on the inside of you. And if you're ever going to rise to what God gave you, your image of your own self have to change. Our boast is not in us, but my boast is in the God who made me. And he don't make junk. I want to bless him right now. I'm feeling better myself, I'm telling you. Notice what the psalmist said there. God, you possess my reign. You covered me in my mother's womb. I'm no accident. You were covering me. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul know it right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest part of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book my members. You were watching while I was being formed in my mother's womb. You had your book writing in it, keeping an accurate account. One translation said, and you had already knew the number of my days. You were writing and keeping account while I was being formed. You were watching because you knew how important I was. Your book started on me. Do you know there's a book about you? God has so. God has a book about you. He's been keeping a very accurate record. Let's go on, praise God. He says, and when as yet they were none of them, when as yet there was none of them. Now, I'm just starting. I want to show you, and I won't take a whole lot, but I want to do scripture by scripture and show you this is not just some abstract thing. It is something, a pattern of God. All right? So say it again. I am fearfully, and I'm wonderfully made. Praise God. Now, the person on the side of you might not know this. So just touch them and let them know. Y'all take turns. Don't y'all talk at the same time. But just take a moment. I know. Just tell a person, I'm fearfully, I'm wonderfully made. So go tell them. They might not know. All right, you take your turn and tell them. Tell them one more time. Say, listen, I know you don't know this, but you're sitting by an original. Tell them. Tell them. You're sitting by an original. Praise God. Jeremiah 1:4. Come on, quickly. Come on. We got to get this today. Jeremiah 1:4. I know you know it, but go over there with me anyway, just to make sure I'm reading it right. Praise God. Here's Jeremiah talking. Now, again, many of you already know this scripture, but I just want to bring some light to him. Jeremiah speaking. He said, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before you were formed in your mother's womb, I was already intimate with you. That's powerful. That tells me even before conception, God said, I knew who you were. Come on, wait a minute. Come on. I'm talking about God planned for you. You are no accident.
You are no, God planned for you. Before your mother and father were together in this, I had already determined you were coming. I want to bless him. Thank you, Father. Now watch this. Not only that, before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. I ordained thee to be a prophet unto the nation. I know men ordaining you, putting a piece of paper on you, but listen, I had already ordained thee. Before you did good or evil, never thinking about your intellect and your wisdom. When you came from the womb, I had already set you apart for your calling. Before you could do anything, before you thought you as smart as you are. And then I ordained you to be a prophet. Listen, this little old boy running down barefooted in Brookhaven, Mississippi, God had already ordained him. God had already said, "Your boy, you're going to the nation." Might not look like much now, but I've already called you. I've already, hey God, I have already sanctified you. You don't know it now, but you're going to run for me, son. Some of you sitting there, see, well, why are you doing? I need your expectation to rise. I need you to understand God has put something on the inside of you that the world, whether they know it or not, they need it. Because it's not you, it is supernatural on the inside of you. Say, I'm no accident. No, you're not. No, you're not. Verse 6, he said, then said I, oh, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a child. See, God, I can't speak like, you know, Pastor Mike and Pastor Shirley. I see how they speak, and I can't do that. But the Lord said to me, say not. There's some stuff you ought not to be saying. There's some things should never come out of your mouth because you are a speaking spirit. And your words has power. And the atmosphere don't know whether you're joking or if you're telling the truth. All it knows is to respond to the command of a speaking spirit. And so God said, say not. Then Jesus said, say not. Jesus threw, said not. You know what he said? Don't say that. He said, don't say I'm a child. Stop that. Why? Because I've already spoken something to you about you. Now agree with me so you can have what I said. Can two walk together unless they be agreed? Are you hearing me? All right, praise God. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I'm a child, for thou shalt go into all that I send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, that shalt thou speak. Come on, let's go a little further. Anybody want some more? Yes. All right, I'm just checking. I don't want to be here and, you know, and taking up a lot of time. Isaiah 49 and 1. Go there. Praise God. Isaiah 49 and 1. Now, I know you know these scriptures, but it's good to review them. Isaiah 49 and verse 1. Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from afar. The Lord has called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. And he has made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me, and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver hath he hid me. Here's what Isaiah said. He said, God had already called me. He knew my name. But until my season, he hid me. There are some things, times, some of you look like you've been waiting for God. God said, no, I'm hiding you. I'm keeping you from pollution. I'm keeping you from trying to be like everybody else. And I've hid you in there, and I put my hand, and there's some things couldn't touch you. That's why you didn't fit in. That's why everybody, you never fit in, because, look, I'm saving you. You are a polish, and I hid you back for the appointed time. And when the appointed time comes, I'm going to pull you out and shoot you like an arrow into your destiny to do what I call you to do. And they're going to say to you, where do you come from? I mean, who was your father? What school you went to? I went to the school of neology. Stayed on my knees until I heard from the Lord. And when he shot me, praise God, I was polished. I was ready. I kept studying. I kept praying. I kept seeking the Lord until my time. And at the appointed time, he released me. And I got a sword in my mouth that's sharper than, oh my God. When I speak, stuff begin to change. Some of you are like that. You've been waiting. God said, I'm about to release you. I'm about to loose you. And when I do, I'm going to aim you right at the biggest target the devil has. And when you come in, he's going to say, oh, no, here he come. Oh, no, she done got up again. Oh, my God. Oh. That's what this is saying. Now, notice, now, we've talked about Isaiah. We talked about Jeremiah. Amen. And we're talking, the psalmist said it. Praise God. Well, maybe you're not convinced. Let's stay a little bit farther. Let's go on. Luke the first. Lord, hold me. Luke 1, 11. Luke 1, 11. Lord Jesus. Now, you remember this story. Let me give you the setting in. This is Zacharias. Remember? That he is in the temple, he's doing his regular order that he would normally do. The priests had a certain order that they would go in, and it was ordered by families. And so there's certain times certain families would do, and he was going in there, and then, of course, he was in doing what he would normally do and doing in prayer. The Bible said the people were waiting on the outside for him like they would normally do when the priests would go in and do those things. Now Zechariah is actually in the temple. And there appeared unto him, verse 11 said, an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled. I guess so. And fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, what? What did the angel say unto him? See, God cannot do anything to you when you're in fear. Faith will attract what God has said, what his word has said. Fear will attract the wrong things. The things that you begin to, well, every time I do this, and this is what happened. Fear works like faith. It is a reciprocal of faith. What I simply mean by that is that the way fear works, it has the same qualities. It has the same properties that faith has. But faith attracts what you want. I mean, what you want and desire. Fear will attract what you don't want. Can I give you an example of that? Whenever you get in fear, the moment you get in fear, faith stops. Your faith will always goes up to where your fear starts. Are you hearing me? All right? I'm not so familiar with your area. Pastor Mike, where is North at?
Don't ask me.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. Forgive me. This is North. Thank y'all. Praise God. This is North. Okay. So if I go this direction, I'm going... If I go this direction, I'm going. If I go this direction, I'm going. Okay. Here we go. Watch very closely. I'm going. I'm going. I'm going. I'm going. Did you notice it didn't matter how far I came north? As soon as I turned, I was going which direction? It doesn't matter how long you've been believing. When you stop, you're in fear and your faith stops. Your faith is attracting what God has said, but the moment you turn to fear, let a double-minded person know they won't get anything from God. A double-minded is a person who has two minds on the same subject. Today, hallelujah, praise God, yeah, hallelujah. Ooh, Jesus, I don't know, I don't know. I can't make it, I don't think you can either. Do you understand what I'm saying? It is very, very important. God, the angel, first thing the angel says, don't fear. God has to arrest your fear before your faith can be activated. In fear, you will say something that will stop the blessing of God from coming to you. The angel had to arrest the fear. And many times you'll see this throughout scripture. First thing the angel said, fear not, fear not. Because we have to get a hold of your fear. All right? There appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled. Fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son. And thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall be turned to the Lord their God. I know that you've gotten old, Zacharias and Elizabeth. I know now that it's long past the stage that you should ever have a child. But I've brought some good news to you. That baby boy, you're going to have him. Well, the first thing that you see, reason will fight faith. Some of you done lived in reason. All you're like, well, I tell you what I think. Man, nobody asked you what you think. We love you. What said the scripture? I don't know, but here's what I think. No, you ought to be thinking what God said. Your problem has been is you trying to use your mind. Here's the problem. Your mind is what you got you in all this trouble right now. Reason is there to serve you. God wants you to reason. God wants you to have logic. In fact, one of the words when it talks about the logos is logissimo, which means simply to use reason, to use logic to come to a conclusion. Here's the thing. You only use that when it doesn't go against the word of God. If your reasoning is bringing you against the word of God, then I cast down that image, cast down imagination. Now, so here, when God says something to you, stop trying to figure out how he's going to do it. You understand? You're talking about a God who's created the universe. You're talking about a God who in our solar system, there are millions of planets. And then there are billions of solar systems. And you're going to figure God out? Come on, you can't get yourself out of your trouble. How are you going to figure God? That's why God just tell you, believe, trust. His record is good. Check his record. It's good. You can trust him. God said, you're going to have a child, even in your old age. Many times when God causes you to wait a long, long time for something, he's going to make it well worth your wait. I know for a fact. I'm not telling you what I read. I'm telling you what I know. I remember when I ministry really started going, people started coming out and they said, well, you just came out of nowhere, didn't you? I said, yeah, about 20-something years worth. Come out of nowhere. I've been laboring. I've been praying. I've been waiting on God. Would not get out of integrity. Wanted to be honorable with everything I did. That it may honor the Lord. No, when God makes you wait for a long period of time, he makes it well worth your wait. Amen. Don't be anxious for anything, but all things through prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God and the very God of peace. Hey, God. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I got to think about how good he's been to me. So he tells Zechariah, tells him the name of his son. This boy has been planned for. He's, in fact, going to be the forerunner of Christ. He's going to do tremendous things. Your son. All right, let's go on because I really want to give a little more on this. Let's look at 39, same chapter, 39, verse 39. Go to 39. Praise the name of the Most High God. And Mary arose in those days. Because now you have to remember now, because the same angel 6 months later has come to Mary now. And when he talks to Mary, he tells her that, Hail Mary. Hail Mary. He talks to her and get her to understand something. He said, you found favor in God. God is about to do something very miraculous. God is about to place a child in your womb, and you won't know a man. And God is about to do this. And Mary said, I don't understand how this thing would be. She wasn't questioning that God wouldn't do it. It's my mind is, how is this going to happen? So the scriptures say he said the Holy Ghost. Somebody said the Holy Ghost. That's some things you're trying to figure out. You don't need to figure out. Just said the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of the living God will do it. I don't have to know how he does it. And then she made one of the most beautiful statements. And I would that we would begin to practice that in our own life. Be it unto me according to your word. See, if there's something you stop trying to figure out and just say, Lord, be it unto me. What you promise, I believe you will do. Be it unto me. Be it in my house according to your word, God. And the Lord now was able to do that. Now Mary, the angel has already told about Elizabeth. So Mary decided, let me go down and talk to Elizabeth because I can't tell everybody this. People are going to think I'm crazy if I tell them this. She goes down, verse 39. Mary rose in those days, went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth, verse 41. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the, come on, wait a minute, oh, excuse me. Wait a minute, time out. Did you hear, as soon as she did what? Words. As soon as she heard that which was implanted, hey, God, when you sit and you hear from people that God has ordained to speak to you, your baby will leap too. That which God has placed in you to do, all of a sudden, hey, wait a minute, glory to God. Soon as she heard the voice of Mary, the babe in her leaped, and Elizabeth said, oh, hallelujah. She would fill with the Holy Ghost immediately. Now, we've already read that the baby is going to be even from the womb. See, a babe in the womb knows voices.
Yes, sir.
And when you are expecting a child, those of us who are going to be doing that again, you ought to be singing praises of God. You need to be reading the word of God to that babe in the womb. You need to be praying, and that babe needs to hear as you pray. You can't wait now till they come out. You got to get started early. Bill a hedge against, I'm serious. That babe can hear. It can respond to even the word of God. Powerful. Now, praise God, Elizabeth speaks out, and she spake out with a quiet voice. Oh, I'm sorry, it's a loud voice. When the Holy Ghost comes, you'll get loud at times. I didn't say all the time. And some folk, they sit quiet. I don't believe you have to do all that. Praise God. I mean, you know, they just said, you know, why you have to be so loud in church stuff? May I help you, ma'am? And sir, you're going to be in trouble when you get to heaven. You're going to be in serious. I challenge you, go read the book of Revelation. They are loud. The Bible said they got so loud to the post begin to move. They're going to be loud up there. I believe that when we see him, ain't nothing quiet going to be in us. It's a loud. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! Do you see that? He'll be up there. No, sir. Not in heaven. Not when you see the glory of our King. Are you kidding me? Everything in you going to start responding. Glory to God. Man, Jesus, I like this. Watch this. And she spake with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, listen, hold it right there. I don't want to go out of order. You know, I'm yielding, but you know, so I'm fooling myself. Can I say something too? And Mary said, my soul does magnify the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the low estate of his handmaid. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed, for he that is mighty has done great things, and holy is his name. I'm telling you, them sisters were having a show enough Holy Ghost time. Now, you know, if somebody walked up the street, didn't know what was going on, like, what in the world? They could care less. When you're in the presence of God, everything else doesn't matter. It really doesn't. And therefore, you and I should press for his presence. Not just to feel good, but in the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. Some of you don't know what it is to have joy in the Lord. You don't even know what that is. It's like, you press for his presence. There are times in my prayer that I'm with the Lord, and I'm telling you, I get so lost with him, and I sit there, and I wait there, and as he blesses me, as he downloads to me, as he ministers his grace to me, as he shows me how much he loves me, oh, I climb right on up in daddy's lap, and I just lay there and say, go ahead now. Because the world many times has beat us up so much. Some of you have been bruised so angrily. Things have been said. And I'm telling you, there's a part of you, your soul cries out for God. The Lord is my portion, my soul says. Nothing no man can give me. There's nothing you can do for me, but there's some part of me that God has to touch. I love you, but you can't touch me right there. Because God left it just for himself. And as much as I love my wife, beautiful she is to me, there's some parts of me she can't touch. Only God can. And I already know there's some part. And sometimes, I'm telling you, I want her to just get there, be with God, so God can touch her. When she come out, she's like, I'm all right. Praise God. There's some stuff you can't do. Some of you are trying to get too much help and get too much joy and peace out of your, if you're married, to your spouse. There's some stuff your spouse, that's too much of a burden to put on them. Try to make you happy. You don't even know what happy is when you get it. Come on. Sometimes you have to say, what's wrong? I don't know. You know, come on. I'm talking about there's some part of you that only God can touch. And when he touch it, everything else is all right. Even though you ain't acting right, I'm good. Because he touched me everywhere. Praise God. And when I see you, you look good too. Hey. See, that's really what happened to Zacharias. They've gotten old now. That's what happened to Abraham. They've gotten old. But all of a sudden, now that word was spoken to them. They begin to believe it. And all of a sudden, there he was. Praise God. And here come Elizabeth. He said, Elizabeth, come here, girl. Come here. I want to talk to you. You know why? He began to believe. It was not just something that happened, but something natural had to happen. Their bodies had to change. She could not carry that child at her age the way she was. There's no way her body could have done this. God had to change it and begin to reverse age so that her body would be able to carry this child. Supernatural things were happening to them. Something supernatural happened to you when you begin to believe. And that's why I want you to understand you are no accident today. Oh, I'll give you one more and then I'm gone. I could just do this. Galatians 1:15. And I'm going to do this one from the Amplified. Galatians 1:15. Praise God. This is, of course, Paul. He says, but when it pleased God, let me do the King James and then I'll do it from the Amplified. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Now, let's listen to the amplified on this. Praise God. I want to see exactly what how the Amplified says it. All right, here we go. It says there, but when he who has chosen and set me apart, even before I was born, and has called me by his grace, his undeserved favor and blessing, saw fit and was pleased to reveal, unveil, disclose his son within me so that I might proclaim him among the Gentiles, the non-Jewish world, as the glad tidings, the gospel. Immediately I did not confer with flesh and blood, did not consult with counsel and any frail human being or communicate with anyone. He said, listen, there came a time that I was preaching, I was doing what I thought was right, but God chose to reveal Christ to me. And when that opened up a whole new world, I knew who I was called to. See, if you don't know who you're called to, you might be serving the wrong people. You might be doing a good thing, but it's not a God thing. Even you would think Paul would have went to the Jewish people. He was trained under the greatest teachers. He knew all of their liturgy. He knew everything about them. And yet God called Paul to the Gentiles. You would have think that God would have sent Peter, who was uneducated, unlearned. He was sent him to them because the Jewish were scholars. They knew the law. But God sent Peter to the Jewish people. In fact, when Paul would try to go to the Jewish people to teach, he always got a rock shower. Amen? They showered him with rock. They showed their appreciation by stoning him. Amen? Leaving him for dead. Amen? See, when you go where you have no authority, when you have no measure of rule, then you can't do what God called you. It is one of the most important things that you know what the will of God is concerning you. I'm going to read our opening text scripture one more time. And this is from the Amplified. Now, notice the difference it makes. Ephesians 5 and 14. Notice the difference. And then we'll give you some statements and I'm going to be done. Ephesians 5 and 14. Let's go back there again. But this time, listen to it from the Amplified. And watch what he says. He says, therefore, he says, awake, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ shall shine, make day dawn unto you, and give you light. Look carefully then how you walk. Live purposefully and worthily and accurately, not as unwise and witless, but as wise, sensible, intelligent people, making the very most of the time, buying up each opportunity, because the days are evil. 17, therefore do not be vague and thoughtless and foolish, but understanding and firmly grasping what the will of the Lord is. He makes a statement. He indicates to us that if I don't know what the will of the Lord is, I'm just living life. He said, you need to understand what the will of the Lord is for you. You need to understand that God brought you into this people planet for a purpose. He has a design for you. Something he needs you to do. It's very, very important that we understand these things. And because there's no expectation, then we're not seeking. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Then the Lord said, you will find me when you seek me with some of your heart. Oh, he said all your heart, didn't he? So that tells me if I don't seek him with all of my heart, I don't find him. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. But I won't get what God wants. God, your life is hid in Christ. It's not hid from you, it's hid for you. So the devil can't get in there and mess it up. How many of you know that gold you don't find on top of the ground? Anybody know that? What do you have to do to get gold out of the earth? You have to dig. And you have to dig a lot, remove the rocks, do all of those things. Whatever is value always has to be dug for. Anything laying on the ground, anybody can get it, it's not that important. Amen. How many people you've seen pass by pennies? Now, you haven't seen very many pass by a $50 bill. And certainly not a $100 bill. But they will pass by pennies. Now, I don't pass by them. I pick them up. Thank you. Praise God. But whatever is valuable must be dug for. It must be sought out. And many of us have not sought out the will of God for our own lives. God has an expected end. Jeremiah 29:11 said that, doesn't it? God said, I know my thoughts for you. They're good to give you an expected end. God said, I have thoughts about you. And my thoughts toward you are very good. I have an expected end I wanted you to get to. If you don't know the will of God for your life, you don't know where you need to be.
Where you are is important. Jesus needed to leave Judea to get to Galilee and to go through Samaria. Jonah needed to leave the belly of the whale to get to Nineveh. Abraham needed to leave Ur to get to Canaan. Ruth needed to leave Moab to get to Bethlehem to meet Boaz. Where you are determine who sees you. Joseph was not promoted until Pharaoh saw him. Ruth didn't get married until Boaz saw her. Esther could not save her nation until the king saw her. So if you don't know the will, you might not be in the right place. That means the right people might not be seeing you. Well, Pastor, and I only have a minute, and I'm going to give it to you quickly. And you're going to have to dig it out for yourself. I would love to preach on it and show you it is one of the most powerful things. A scripture you already know and probably like me can quote it. Romans 12, 1 through 2, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, I plead with you that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Some of us are presenting our bodies a dead sacrifice. God said, I'm not taking dead sacrifices anymore. Right. Living sacrifice. Sacrifice means you give up your right. It is not your life anymore. It's not your body anymore. You can't do what you want to do with it anymore. It belongs to God. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body, in your spirit, which are God's. Romans 12 again. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service. This is reasonable after all I've done for you, all I've given. It's reasonable that you do this. And be not conformed to this world. Stop being ordered by the system of this world. But be ye transformed. The Greek is metamorphosis. Like a butterfly goes in as a worm and come out as a beautiful. There is a metaphor, a change so complete, don't even look like what it used to be. I'm still trying to, God don't care. He does care. It's his body. It's not your choice. That's why we can't get the will of God. We're so selfish. Want our way. I don't care. Here's what I know. Because you haven't died yet. When he died, you were supposed to die too. He gave up his life to give you life. If a man will not lose his life, he can't find it. But if he loses it for Christ, he'll find the life God had for him. Your life is hid in Christ. It's not outside of him. And be ye conformed. Be ye not conformed to this world. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Watch this, that you may prove what is the good, what is the perfect, what is the acceptable will of God. The Amplified says, for you. The will for you. You can't find it until you do these other things. It's predicated upon those things. The reason we find so hard to find the will of God, we want to live our life the way we want it. And Jesus said, why call me Lord and do not the things I say do? Why you keep calling me Lord and you doing your own thing? If I'm your Lord, that means I have every right to tell you how to live. I have every right to speak to your relationships and tell you how they ought to be ordered. I have every right to tell you where to work at. Yes, sir. What career to take. I have every right, because I'm Lord. Oh, we got quiet in this sanctified church. Here's what I promise you. When I leave, I'm going to be all in your dreams. You will think about the things I said, because it's not me, it's the Christ in me. This is his heart. God wants you to know. He's not hiding his will. He's not dangling and playing with you. He needs you. Something in you is so supernatural. And you know what? There's some stuff I need I can't get because you're still hiding your stuff. Pastor Mike, this is the head. But where's the hands? Come
Where's the feet? The head can't scratch itself. Does that make sense? I need a hand. I don't care how smart I am, but no hand. And when we need to move in a certain direction, I might need the feet. And the feet say, I ain't going. I'm going to stay right here. I like sitting right here on the bench doing nothing. And the head said, but we need to get mobilized. There's some things God is saying to me because God processed through the head. Everything comes from the brain. Oh, that's another method. I'm sorry. I went on to another method. I'm sorry. Stand with me. Praise God. Let me just pray with you now, because I know, and I've said it in a very comical way, and that's the way I preach. One of the reasons is because some things that I'm sharing has to really begin to challenge us and to challenge the way we think. My mother used to give me castor oil. Castor oil cured everything. Even if you were sick, you wouldn't go tell her because you knew castor oil was coming, right? And so what she did to try to help you take this castor oil, even though you didn't like it, it was going to heal you, she would give you a little orange juice. That was your chaser. Amen. Some of you know what I'm talking about, right? Now, your chaser might have been orange juice. It might have been something else, but you had a little chaser with it because they're trying to get you to bear that castor oil. Amen. But so that you could be able to accept it. Well, I give laughter with mine. You laugh, but while you're laughing, I'm releasing truth. And when you leave, you won't remember the laughter. You'll remember the word. That's why I quote the word. I talk the word. Because the word do what I cannot do. Yes, would you bow your head just for a moment? I'm going to pray. I'm going to turn over to Pastor Mike. Father, we worship you. You have a will for every one of us. Yes. We are no junk. Yes, thank you. We were planned for. We were wonderfully and fearfully made, every one of us. Yes. You wrote a book about us, and it's still in keeping. And you know exactly where we are. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for caring for us. Yes. Down through the years, it's been you and you alone who have taken care of us. That time we went to sleep behind the steering wheel, we should have died. But you woke us at the proper time. The time we were sitting there thinking about, I'm just going to take my life. I'm done with it. This is crazy. You preserved us. You made something happen that changed our mind. That time we were thinking about doing some serious, ungodly things to people, you kept us at the last moment. We worship you. We bless you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for being God for us. I don't want to continue to waste my time. I've wasted enough time doing my thing, trying to please people, making man happy. But Lord, from this day forward, I want to make you happy. I want to spend the rest of my life bringing you glory. I want to bring you honor. I want to hear you say, well done, my good and faithful. Lord, would you do something in me that I cannot do in myself? Yes. Change my heart before you. Make me the man of God you I'm supposed to be, God. Make me the woman of God I'm supposed to be. God, do in me what I cannot do in myself. I've heard your voice today. I've heard you speaking to me, God. And I refuse to go on like I've been doing, God. I want you, Lord. I want you more than anything in this world. I want my life to bring you glory. Reveal your will to me, God. Why did you pursue me? Why did you call me out of that darkness? What was in your mind, God? I didn't think very much about myself, but you loved me when I was unlovable. And you chose me. And I want to fulfill the call of God on my life. Oh, how we worship you in this house, how we bless you, how we draw nigh to you, oh Lord God. Great is the Lord, great is the Lord our God. Blessing, honor, and majesty to you alone, oh King. How our soul thirsts for you, God. We thirst for you, Lord. We thirst for you, Father. Fill us again. Fill us again. Renew our hearts and mind to you. Renew our commitments, God, like never before. And we'll give you glory and honor in Jesus' name.
Amen. Pastor Mike, if you would come.